take a moment. If you would, take a few minutes. Again, we won't be long with this. Share this within your small group. Okay, let's turn back here. Someone like to share in the group what your experience of the Lord testifying, giving proof, giving evidence that you are His child, His son, His daughter? Rosemary.
There's so much, but I'll just pick out one thing.
Okay.
The Lord's constant love is shown in His protection and guidance. That doesn't mean that I don't experience hardship or illness, but He's with me through it and guiding me through it. Particularly in one event when my husband and I found out we couldn't have our own children in quotes, and we were talking about adoption, and it came on TV how many children needed to be adopted at that point. And we decided, I was really fighting it because this would not be my quote-unquote own child. And the Lord in prayer reminded me that I call Him Father and that He calls me His child. He doesn't call me His adopted child. He calls me His child. And that when we would adopt, it would be that way. And so it just completely changed the whole situation for me. So we went ahead.
Good. That's wonderful. So how the Lord brought that whole understanding of adoption and what that really meant to how the Lord cleared that myth up, so to speak. Good. That's wonderful. Someone else like to share how the Lord gave proof, testimony, evidence in your life, bearing witness, as the scripture would say, that you're His son and daughter. Yeah, Teresa.
Well, I think, you know, most people say put the answer prayer, but I was praying for a long time or something, and I didn't see any way, you know, how it was going to end up, but it did. It involved a lot of people, and I realized God had to work through all these people. He couldn't just, you know, answer my prayer right out. There were a lot of things, a lot of facts and things that had to come in to play with it, but finally, He did answer. And I just kept on praying, and I kept on going to retreats, and I kept on doing everything that I thought I needed to do to get closer to God. And I didn't give up. I persevered.
Right. Good. So your prayer was answered, but it took time, persevering, and a lot of encouragement and support for that. Okay. But the answered prayer was the evidence that He was there. Okay. Good. Someone else like to share one more? Betty Jo. Yes.
I just remember I came up in an alcoholic background. It wasn't a loving background, and I can remember after coming to know the Lord, kneeling, scrubbing the kitchen floor, and saying, "I'm afraid of the Father." I realized that, you know, that I wasn't going to the Father. Jesus was fine. Holy Spirit was fine. The Father was not somebody that I was comfortable with. And I could never say, "Okay, Jesus, you have to take me and introduce me." The Father comes up here to that level. And I was. I just, because of my background. And I guess scrubbing the floor was the first time right there that He introduced me to the Father. And then it was an ongoing process for that, you know, and it really means a great deal to me to that, you know. And I have to try to pass that on to the children, you know.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you. That's wonderful. So Jesus introduced you to His Father, a loving Father. Right, exactly. And that, and bearing witness to you in that, in your thoughts, in your imagination.
And for me to realize that that's why I didn't go to the Father.
That's right.
Because it had to do with my earthly Father.
Right. That's great. Good. Which brings me to another point before we move on to authority, and that is that the Holy Spirit, when awakened in our life, gives us the power to come to know the Father. I don't think it's possible to really know the Father as, like was being shared here, as someone who cares and loves us unless the Holy Spirit is awakened, unless He's alive in our life. Because we see from this passage, we're led by the Spirit, those who are sons and daughters of God. So it's the Holy Spirit who does that work in us. So that's why we pray over people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to experience a fresh release of the Holy Spirit in their life. If you're coming from a Catholic background, as Catholics, we believe that the Holy Spirit is given to us in baptism and confirmation. That's a wonderful gift. That's the DNA in us. But you know what? The Holy Spirit needs to be released in our life. He needs to become alive in our life. He needs to become active. He needs to become, like Jesus said in John chapter 7, like a river flowing from within us. And I know in my life for a long time the Holy Spirit was not a river. He was at best a trickle. But a lot of times he was just dormant, stagnant waters, you know. But when he became a river in me, which came, we call today the grace of baptism of the Spirit, release of the Holy Spirit, then I began to know all that God had in mind for me, but particularly knowing his Father. So another aspect of coming to know his Father is shared. Sometimes there are blocks in our life that prohibit us from seeing the Father. We may have false images of that. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is a beautiful statement saying that God is a Father, but there may be, as I said, images in our heart that really doesn't allow us to see Father, and so we have to work at removing them. We found that one helpful tool to remove them is having people pray with us for the healing of past hurts and wounds in our life. So we can say, Lord, step back into my life and heal those wounds that prevent me from seeing you as Abba, as a dad who really cares with affection for me. You know, in our society today, it's not a mistake at all. Statistics are very clear that a lot of people have difficulty with their natural fathers. They also then have a difficulty with their heavenly father because of that. But we found that through healing prayer, inner healing prayer, that the Lord is able to step back and begin to challenge those memories, which oftentimes are filled with rejection or pain or alienation from our earthly fathers. And Jesus is able to heal those memories and able to liberate us from the tyranny and the darkness of those memories and show us what his Father's like, someone who will not hurt us or in any way alienate us or abandon us. You know, again, that's the work of the Holy Spirit now. And when he becomes alive in us, we become able to receive that ministry he wants to bring to us. So, again, we'll have time during the Mass this afternoon to pray with anyone who would like a fresh release of the Holy Spirit in their life, because that's so critical to knowing yourself, your identity as a son and daughter of the Father. Okay, let's move on to authority. Number two on your paper, a son or daughter's authority. Now, in the time of Jesus, a father of a household meant everything. And so to the degree that the father had authority in a community, so would his children. So if the father had limited authority in his community, the children would have limited authority. If the father had a great deal of authority in the community which they lived in, then so would the children have a great deal of authority. And so authority was something that came out of relationship to the father. And depending upon what he had going for him would depend upon what you and the family would have going for you. Okay. So a son or daughter's authority in the early church and also the times of Jesus, the culture of that time, was about relationship. What kind of relationship do I have with my earthly father, and what kind of relationship does he have to the community will determine what kind of authority I have. Now, what is authority? Authority is the ability to be able to exercise power over something. For example, if a policeman walks out to the middle of traffic and puts his hand up to stop the traffic, as if he's stopping the traffic, he in himself does not have the power to stop traffic because a car is much bigger than him or a truck is much bigger than him and they can run him over. But he has the authority to exercise the power to stop the ongoing traffic. Which authority comes from his relationship to the state and perhaps larger than to the nation. There's, most of us are familiar with ambassadors to foreign nations. And so an ambassador from the United States to, let's say, France would be an ambassador who would represent our nation, the United States of America, to France. Well, in 1936, Chamberlain, Prime Minister of England, went to Germany to meet with Adolf Hitler. And the idea was that Chamberlain was going to seek peace with Adolf Hitler. He was making, rumors of war and was making inroads into various small countries to take them over. And Britain, along with other free countries, were very concerned about all that. And so England sent Chamberlain to Germany to represent England. And England's authority and England's power as a nation was with Chamberlain. And in those times, Chamberlain spoke to Hitler, and they both agreed to a peace. And Chamberlain came back with the famous words, peace in our time. Of course, it was only a couple years later that Hitler invaded Poland and then sent the power of Great Britain into armed conflict with Germany. And so we see there, historically, for example, the authority of Chamberlain was not his authority, but was the nation's authority. And with that came all the resources, including a nation that was prepared for conflict and war with Germany, which ensued, as you know. Our authority comes from our relationship to the Father because of Jesus and because of what he's done for us. So point number one under your outline, I would say our authority comes from our relationship we have with the Father through Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? First of all, Jesus was the Son of the Father. Let's turn, if you would, to John chapter 5. Jesus had a very definite sense of who his identity was, and as well as where his authority came from. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will be shown to him, that you may marvel." Okay. There we see Jesus identifying two things there, his relationship to his Father. His Father loves him, and he's going to do what the Father wants him to do. In fact, the Father shows Jesus all that he's doing. The Father reveals to Jesus all that he's doing. And the Son, Jesus, says, "I'll do nothing of my own accord. I'll do everything in relationship to my Father." But yet he goes on to say, greater works he will show him, that you may marvel. So the Jesus is saying there's greater things, greater power that will be released through me, he says, because I'm my Father's Son, and my Father is revealing to me all that he wants to do. So what we see here is that Jesus' authority comes out of his relationship to his Father, and his ability to act in power comes from his relationship to his Father. The relationship of love, relationship of obedience, relationship of trust. Now, you and I have a relationship with the Father also through the Holy Spirit living in us. And the Holy Spirit identifies us as children of God, as sons, as daughters of the Father, because of what Jesus did for us at the cross. By Jesus dying, by Jesus rising, he gives to us then the gift of the Spirit who equips us with authority. Okay, let's turn it back to Romans chapter 8, if you would. I didn't tell you to keep your finger there because it will be bouncing back and forth. This is, as you can see, the key passage for us. Take it up where it says, verse 16, "Is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God?" Okay. That's a very key passage there. Bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Children of God is not just simply a sentimental term. We think of children, we think of, in many ways we think of very innocent and loving people children are, but the scripture here is by far not dealing with the sentimentality of children. It's dealing with our authority as a son and daughter of the Father. It's identifying the relationship we have with the Father. And the relationship is that because of the Son Jesus and what he accomplished for us by his dying and by his rising and by the power of who he is in terms of his name and his identity, we share in his authority as Son. So what you heard in John chapter 5 about Son's authority because of his relationship to the Father and all the Father was showing the Son and all that the Son was doing in the name of the Father, then that authority is yours and mine because of the Son. Now, how do I know that? All right, we know that. Let's turn to John chapter 16. Again, you want to probably keep your finger or something in Romans 8. John chapter 16.